So now, God, we just pray for Chad. We just pray that you would anoint his words, that you would speak through him, and that you give us hearts that are open to understanding and to receiving and putting into practice what he has to talk about today. Lord, we love you, and we give you the praise and the glory and the worship. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys may be seated.
Well, I get the privilege this morning to introduce to you Pastor Chad McCollum. I have been speaking with him for the past couple months through interviews and texts and phone calls, so I've had the chance to get to know him quite a bit. Inside your bulletin is a little bio that we've put together if you haven't had a chance to meet him or read this information that was sent out through email as well. It's in your bulletin. You can take a look and get a better feel for who he is and where he's been and what he's been up to. I did get a text from him when one of the Wisconsin Badger football games was going on, and all it said was, "Just so you know, I'm cheering for the Wisconsin Badgers." And I thought, well, that didn't hurt him at all, did it? So we have had many conversations, our search team has with him, and in talking in depth with him, meeting him in a third interview in person, which was here, and also in talking with other people that he served with in his past places of service. So we have talked with them, we have asked lots of questions, and we are real excited that he is here candidating with us today. They drove up from Indiana yesterday. They drove through Chicago, all the tollways. You know how much fun that is, a nine-hour trip up here. And got into town, and I thought they'd want to crash somewhere, and the first thing they did was drive over to the high school basketball game to catch the last couple minutes. So I thought that was a good insight into the kind of people that they are. Chad will introduce his wife and kids to you, so I'll let him do that. But for now, I would like to have you give a warm Hayward Wesleyan welcome to Pastor Chad McCollum.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. And we are really glad to be here. Thank you for welcoming our family as you have, and we're honored to be here today. Our family loves basketball. We come from the state of Indiana, and basketball is a big deal down there. And so our family loves basketball. When I heard there was a game happening over at the high school, we did our best to get here. We pushed through. We only stopped a couple times. The boys were like, "Dad, we got to go to the bathroom." And I'm like, "No, we're pushing through." And we made it and got here in time to see the very end of the game. And for the record, you can write this down, the Hayward Hurricanes are undefeated when I am in the room. I want you to know that. And they took down, Spooner the other night. And I guess that's a really big deal. And I love Ron Gormong over at the Spooner Wesleyan Church, but I texted him, and I was like, "Hey, just so you know, Hayward took it to Spooner tonight." And Ron's like, "Keep it to yourself." And so it's really a delight to be here. I have my wife of 21 years, 21 consecutive years, I might add. Julie is with me today. And if you want to know, I just want you to know this loud and clear. This guy loves this girl. And loved her for a long, long time, and she's walked with me through a whole lot, and so love Julie, and love being married to Julie. There's lots of stories there we can tell another day. And then Chase right here is 14. Wave, Chase. Thank you very much. Chase is in eighth grade, and then Miles right here is 12. He is in sixth grade, and Jack right here is in eight. You can tell I'm talking twice this morning. Jack right here is eight, and he is in second grade. Jack, can you wave to everybody? All right. Would you make them feel welcome this morning? They were like, "Dad, we're going to sit through this twice." And I was like, "Trust me, I'm going to do this twice." So proud of you guys. Really, really am. We are so glad to be here. I realize that this morning there's a lot of questions in this room. There's big questions like, what's this guy really like? And Steve told you, I was cheering for Wisconsin. You need to know, I was cheering for Wisconsin, one, because Wisconsin beat my favorite team, which is the University of Michigan. And so I was cheering for Wisconsin because, in part, they were a good team. And I recognize a good team. I'm not too proud to say Wisconsin was a good team. But Wisconsin was playing a team that I have a hard time with. They were playing a team that, if you live in Michigan, you just say it's that school down south. They were playing Ohio State University. And so it's like, it was easy. I mean, Northwestern could have been playing. And I'm the biggest Northwestern fan on the planet. And so, but we were glad for that and got to watch that game. And really, really glad to be here. I realize that one of the big questions in this room right now is Packers or Vikings. I realize that, and I want you to know, I'm a free agent on that front. I good bowl of chili and a good conversation. I can be bought on that one. And tell people, what's that new pastor like? Well, he said he could be bought. And so, but I am equal opportunity on that one. Not really a Colts fan. It's hard to be a Colts fan this season, but love college football and basketball and those kinds of things. I'm glad to be here. On a warmer day, I left my coat in the car today. I did the math. Today is going to be a 57 degree swing from the last time we were here. We were here like 3 weeks ago to meet with everybody. It was 22 below, and I looked at Steve and I was like, "Do you want me to come here?" Like, and Steve's like, "Oh, we're just testing your mettle, man. We're just testing your mettle. They're doing it to test you." And I'm like, "Yeah, 22 below. So beautiful day today." There were three words that kept going through my mind as I thought about this morning and as I thought about being able to speak with all of you. And those words are these. The first word is grateful. Grateful. I am truly grateful to be here today. I'm grateful for the search team. For Steve and for Josh and Sam and Candy and Chris and Pete and Ashley and Dennis. And I'm grateful for their prayerful process. I hope you know, they were getting to know me. I feel like they know a lot about me. They pretty much, I was thinking this morning, the only thing I don't think they know about me is my social security number and my credit card number. And then it occurred to me at one point they ran a background check on me and I had to get my social security number out. And so if you want my credit card number, I can give that to you this morning as well. But I'm so grateful to them. I said at one point, to a friend of mine, I said, this guy, Steve Garrick, he is a saint. And these people have done good work. Their spouses are to be thanked today. I'm grateful for them, for all the ways that they've given of themselves. I'm grateful for how God has led to this point, the way that he led. I'm grateful this morning for Mark Wilson. Some of you in this room, one of the questions you may have is, well, does this guy know Mark? And I want you to know I do. I want you to know that Mark Wilson and I became friends many, many years ago. We both were teaching ministerial education classes for the Wesleyan Church, and I was pastoring in a town called Burnups. Burnups rhymes with turnips. 200 people in the town, and the church was bigger than the town. So when you talk, well, Hayward is a small town. No, 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 my friend. Hayward is a metropolis compared to Burnups. And so 200 people in Burnups, and we had a common friend, and they said, Chad, do you know Mark Wilson? And I'm like, no, I don't know Mark Wilson. Like, you guys need to be friends. You guys need to get to know each other. And we were at an event together, and we had started having coffee and just telling stories. And so long before I ever even imagined that I would stand in this way today before you, I heard about how amazing you were. I didn't just hear about a big fish in the center of town. I heard about all of you. And the Bible says, give honor to those whom honor is due. And I honor my friend Mark Wilson today. Some of you might say, well, I wonder if he's talking to Mark Wilson. Did he give him the list of all the problem people in the church or something? And I want you to know, I talked to Mark Wilson via text a good bit lately. Mostly Mark's texts to me consist of, I'm your biggest fan, I'm your number one cheerleader. But I talked to him on October 31. And I was at a low point in my life. You need to know, friends, October 31 was not a good day for me. And I was at a hard day, and I called Mark, and he called me back, and I said, hey, Mark, I said, I'm calling for two reasons, and I said, I just need you to remind me I need you to remind me that God still has a plan for my life. I need you to remind me that God's gifted me. I just think, you know how Mark just tells you how amazing you are, how Mark just jumps in. And so Mark did that. I mean, he's just kept talking and talking, and he's like, you want more? And I'm like, yeah, I want more. God, keep coming. And you can say everything you just said and just say it slower the next time, you know, like just say it again. And I just respect him today. I want you to know that, and I'm grateful for him and his ministry here. I'm grateful. I'm honored. I'm honored to be considered as one who would be called pastor. I want you to know something some of you may wonder in this room. You'll say, well, what's this guy like? Like, is he, is he nice? What is he like? Here's my whole heartbeat as a pastor. At one point, the search team asked me a question. They said, how do you view leadership, something like that? How would you develop leaders in the church? And I realized the church needs leaders. I realized the church needs people to own things and to run with things. I mean, these lights and panels and trees and all of that, that just doesn't happen. And the sound working right, that doesn't just happen. And all the kinds of things. Like, you need people to own stuff. But I answered in a way that I don't think I'd ever fully said out loud, but I believe it totally to be true. I don't think that the church needs more leaders. I really don't. I think that the church needs more shepherds. And by the way, not just shepherds like pastors. I mean all of you as well. Like, each of you have people that you can be a shepherd to. And so I want to be a shepherd that leads, not a leader that shepherds. Does that make sense? So, like, Jack Welch was the CEO of GE for years, and he was not a nice person to be around. You don't want Jack Welch to be your pastor. He would be a leader who's trying to shepherd. My heart is first and foremost that you would know this person of Jesus. And my heart is that as you walk this road, you would grow closer to this person of Jesus. And my heart is that when you face hard days where you just wonder, God, are you still there? My heart is to hear your story and to walk that road with you as best I can. And to see more and more people walk that road with people as best they can. So I'm honored to be considered as one who would be your shepherd. And I'm hopeful. I am really hopeful. I was sitting in the public library in Noblesville, Indiana a few weeks ago, and I was working on this message. And I had tears in my eyes when I wrote these words down. God has only begun what he has in mind to accomplish through Hayward Wesleyan Church. I've never cried in the public library before, I want you to know. But I had tears in my eyes as I wrote again, God has only begun what he has in mind to accomplish through Hayward Wesleyan Church. And friends, you have to believe that. You have to believe that there's still people in Sawyer County that need Jesus. There's still people that would long to be part of a community like this, that would long to be part of a family like this. And God has only begun his work. And so I want us to talk to the Father today. I realize this is a candidating message, which sounds a little political. I don't view this as political today at all. I really want to just look into God's word and say, God, what do you want to say to us today? So let's pray. Father, we need to hear from you. We need to hear from your word today. We need to hear from your spirit today. And I pray that as we study your word, that you would open our eyes and that you would speak clearly. And may we see Jesus today, just Jesus. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. True confession. I am scared of heights. Anybody else scared of heights? Yeah, we can form our own small group. We are all scared of heights. And that's why when I found myself in this position one day, it was so odd. My friend Scott Blair, he is about the best. I have two really, really good friends. The search committee has heard about them. One friend, his name is Scott Blair. He lives in Charlotte, North Carolina. He has a lovely wife. They've adopted all their kids. They are fantastic people. So my friend, I have a friend named Scott and a friend named Brent. Brent's a dairy farmer in West Michigan, and he tells me about farming, and we talk about our families and all of that kind of stuff. But Scott called me one day and he said, Chad, he said, I need another sponsor to be at this youth event. At the time, they lived in Lansing, Michigan. He said, I need another sponsor to help with the youth group at this event called Acquire the Fire. Doesn't that sound scary? Acquire the Fire. And Acquire the Fire was a massive youth event. They were holding them all across the country. And it's like every youth conference you've ever been to, only with way more caffeine. I mean, it was kicked up to 11. Like they ripped the knob off at this thing. And so I show up and I say to Scott, I say, Scott, where are the seats? He's like, oh, I got us some seats. I got us some seats. And he pointed up. I was like, now, Scott, you know me. You love me. I was in your wedding. You were part of my wedding. Like, come on, man. And you know I'm scared of heights. And he's like, you'll be fine. You'll get up there. You'll be fine. And the further up you go in the Breslin Arena, which I don't like to start with because it's Michigan State University, the further up you go, the steeper it gets. What architect does that? The further up you go, the steeper it gets. We were two rows from the top. There were kids literally jumping to the music, heavy metal, Christian heavy metal music, big hair bands, all this kind of stuff, and they're rocking away, and I'm sitting there, literally sitting there on the seat, and I am frozen. I mean, I locked down. I stayed up there all of one session, through a break, all the way through the next session, and then it was approaching the end of the day. They said, we're going to close with this song. And Scott's like, dude, we got to get you down from here. And I was like, no, just leave me here. Like, I'm good. Like, I'll stay right here. I'm good. And he's like, no, I didn't stand up. I didn't raise my hands. You say, well, did the Spirit move that day? For some people, yes, but not for me. Like, I was frozen. So he's like, let's go. And I said, okay, if we're going to go, I need you, Scott, to hold my hand. True confession. Do you want me to be real? I'll be real with you. I said, I need you to hold my hand. He looked at me. He's like, Chad, I love you. You're one of my best friends, but I'm not holding your hand. And I was like, well, yes, you are. You got me up here. You're going to get me down. So I held his hand for about 20 seconds, which is about the longest I've ever held another man's hand, I want you to know. And I held his hand, and we got out to the aisle, and it was at that point that I said, Scott, wait. And we got to the steps, and I just sat down. I literally sat down on the steps. This is a true story, friends, and you're looking at me like, you want to be our pastor? Yes, I do. And I remember hearing this kid. I went one step at a time down on my bottom, and I heard one kid say, oh, that poor man can't walk. We should help that man. And I'm like, yeah, my friend. And literally, Scott looked at me, and he's like, you are the most embarrassing person I've ever been around. And Scott left. He took off. And I was like, this is a Jesus event. Like, you can't just leave me. And I made it down. Obviously, I made it down. But fear that day froze me. It froze me so deeply that I couldn't move. And it does the same for you. And it does the same for every single one of us. And it did the same for Joshua. Joshua, we find him in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua was standing on the edge of the promised land, the Jordan River. And as he found himself there, you need to know leading up to this that Moses had led God's people, the Israelites, out of slavery in Egypt. He'd led them right up to the edge of the promised land, but fear rose up and they ended up wandering in the desert for 40 years. For 40 years, the tension is rising. Imagine taking a can of Coke and shaking it over and over and over again. And that's what's happening in the hearts of these people. The tension is rising and they struggled to trust God even after God had led them out of slavery in Egypt. And they wander around the desert for 40 years and now it's time to enter the promised land, but something horrible happens. Moses dies. He's 120 years old. Moses dies. The Bible tells us about that in Deuteronomy chapter 34. But Moses dies and Joshua steps up. Now, some of you that are a regular part of this faith family, you know, you will remember, you will think back and you will say, I think Pastor Mark preached his final message when he was here out of this very passage. And by the way, he did. I started working on this message and I started saying, God, what do you want to say to your people today? And I just felt so drawn to this. And through the middle of that, I texted Pastor Mark and I said, Pastor Mark, tell me what you preached for your final message. And he texted me the very same passage that I was thinking about for this morning. So Moses had poured into Joshua. Moses had developed Joshua. I'm sure Joshua was grieving the loss of Moses. And now Joshua finds himself leading this huge group of people into a new day. And that's where we find him today in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. And I'd like you to turn there. It's in your Bible too. So I'd like you to turn there this morning, and I'd like you to hear these words. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. We're going to find out in a moment. These are not useless details, friends. This is very important. He says, your territory will spread to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, and no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Now, three times in nine verses, God says the same thing. He says, be strong and courageous. And as I prayed about this morning, those two words kept coming up in my mind over and over and over again as words for you today in your life in this moment. Be strong and courageous. Now, you need to know that God is not saying these words as a worried parent. You ever been a worried parent? I've been a worried parent. God is not wringing his hands wondering how this is all going to turn out. God is not up in heaven like, oh no, this is a horrible thing. God is not a worried parent. So he's not saying, God, Joshua, be strong and courageous. It's not that. He's also not an angry coach. Have you ever had an angry coach? I have. He's not an angry coach. He's not yelling at Joshua, Joshua, get with it. Be strong. Be courageous. He's not that. This is a loving invitation from a good father. Joshua is hearing from God, and God is not shouting at Joshua. God is speaking to Joshua in a way saying, Joshua, be strong. Be courageous. Be strong. Be courageous. God is extending a loving invitation to live with strength and courage, not only in the moment, but in our daily lives as well. He's saying, be strong and courageous. And every single time, strength and courage is tethered to a promise. It's tethered to something else. And I want you to get this, friends. Strength and courage, being strong and courageous, allows us to stand, and it allows us to move forward. And by the way, we all need that in our lives. We need strength to stand, and we need strength to move forward in a physical way. I needed it that day in the Breslin Arena. I needed to be able to stand and to move forward. And I think God would say to you today, I want you to stand. And I want you to move forward. There's three times that God tells Joshua to be strong and courageous. But this isn't just some peppy self-help talk. This isn't just be strong and courageous and y'all go home. There's something more to this. I want you to get these this morning. Number one, God says, be strong and courageous and trust the promises of God. Be strong and courageous, the Bible tells us in verse 6, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their ancestors to give them, that I said I would do. Be strong and courageous and trust the promises of God. Now, this is very important. And those of you that are Bible scholar people and you want to go deeper, you need to look up Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 24 through 25. Because when you look those verses up and you read them, you'll say, wait a minute, God's saying the same thing. And he is. God is speaking to Joshua, and he's saying, I made a promise over here in Deuteronomy, and that promise is still true today. In fact, it goes further back. If you were to go back to when God speaks to Abraham, you will read God saying, I will give you this land. In fact, it goes back even further to Jacob, and it goes back to Jacob, where God says to Jacob, I will give you this land. And then God says to Moses, I will give you this land. And you're thinking to yourself, wow, God hasn't changed his mind. His promises are still true. Now he gets to Joshua and he says, God has promised this land. Now you must trust the promises of God. I want you to get this, friends. Our God keeps his promises. His promises are not bound by geography or time. Have you ever had somebody make a promise and then later on, like a few years later, they'll say, well, I didn't really mean that. I didn't really mean that. Our God keeps his promises. In getting ready for this message, I read a book. It's called Glory Days by Max Lucado. I love this book. And as I read this book, this part just stood out to me. It just jumped off the page. Lucado says, promised land people choose to trust God's promises. They choose to believe that God is up to something good, even though all we see looks bad. Everywhere we look, we see bad, 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 hard, 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 tough, tough, tough. And promised land people, though, they believe God's promises. Lucado says, God's promises are good and they are for our good. In fact, 2 Peter says it, not just Lucado. 2 Peter says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us for his own glory and goodness. And through these, he has given us great and precious what? Promises. God has given us promises to be strong and courageous. Number two, be strong and courageous. Embrace God's word fully. The Bible tells us in verse 7, be strong and courageous, be careful to obey all the law that my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Now, some of you, when you read that, the word meditate jumped off the page. What does it mean to meditate in the Bible? Like, is God telling us to all join a yoga class and like sit in silence? What does that mean? In the Old Testament, there are two pictures of what it means to meditate. The first one means that we fix our mind on something. It means that we take a verse of scripture or a truth or a reflection point and we fix our minds on that. We write it on a 3x5 card. We stick it on the mirror. We fix our minds on that. The other picture is one that's a little more kind of, dare I say, country, but it's also totally true, and it's this. It's, see this cow? It's this. To meditate literally means, it's the picture of a cow chewing on its cud over and over and over and over and over again. And so when Joshua hears from God, and God says to him, keep this book of the law on your lips, meditate on it day and night. God is saying to Joshua, Joshua, I want you to chew on this over and over and over again. I want you to reflect on this over and over and over again so that what you see in this book doesn't just go to our head, but it boils down to our hearts. And it affects the way that we live. He says, meditate on that. God says, if you want to be successful, you've got to keep the word on your mind and you've got to keep the word in your mouth. In fact, Psalm chapter 1 says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight, he's joyful about this, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates, he chews on this day and night. And the one that meditates is like a tree planted by the water, which yields its fruit in season, and the leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Here's the last one. Number three, be strong and courageous. Be assured of God's presence. Be assured of God's presence. Joshua doesn't hear from God, be strong and courageous because you are tough and you're going to go fight and you're going to go knock down the walls of Jericho. God doesn't say that to Joshua in that way. God says, I've commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. I want you to hear these words in your own life today. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. It's like God is saying to Joshua, God, Joshua, I know you're afraid. I know you're a little uneven right now. I know you're a little unsettled. But don't be afraid because I will be with you. What does it mean for God to be with us? I was reading an old Testament scholar that said that the picture here of God being with us is that when God sees us at the point of our greatest need, we often think of ourselves as running to God. But when God sees us at our point of our greatest need, God actually runs to us. And he says, I will be with you. I will be with you. So you say, where is God when bad things happen? He's with you. Where is God when the checkbook doesn't add up at the end of the month? He is with you. Where is God during seasons of change and transition? He is with you. I will be with you. I will not leave you. I won't forsake you. I will not leave you alone. I will be with you. Many years ago, when I was pastoring a little town called Burnups, we had a death in the church. The police called one morning and they said, we need you to come up to this house. And I went to this house and a teen in the church had overdosed, drug overdose. And we went downstairs. The police, when I got there, the police said, you don't want to go down there. But when the dad arrived, he said, I want to see my son. And he said, preacher, I want you to come with me. And so we went downstairs and I remember standing in this son's room. He had his guitar next to him on the bed and he still had the needle in his arm from overdosing the night before. And he was there, and the dad just lost it. I mean, the dad just lost it, like any of us would. The dad lost it. And at one point, the dad turned to me, and he said, preacher, where's God right now? Preacher, where's God right now? And I was frozen. I mean, fear froze me in that moment. I was frozen, and I turned to him, and I said, the only words I knew to say, I said, God is here. And you are not alone. God is here, and you are not alone. And that's what I would say to you today. In whatever crisis moment you're facing off with in your life, God is here, and you are not alone. Don't be scared. I am the God that runs to you. I will never leave you. I won't forsake you. I'm not with you to pester you. I am with you to comfort you. I am with you. And here's the good news. In the Old Testament, God was with his people. But in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit comes. And God is not just with us, but God resides in us through his Holy Spirit. God was with his servants. God was with his people. God was with us, but God also wants to reside in us. Now, I'd like us to bow our heads, if you would. And as I thought about this morning, I felt like God might want to talk to some of you specifically today about a Jordan River that you're facing off with in your life, a place in your life where you need to be able to stand and to move forward, a place in your life where you most need strength and you most need courage. Maybe it's a family thing or a finance thing, a sin thing or a struggle. But today, if that's you, I want to invite you to do something that might feel maybe a little odd, but I promise I'm not going to embarrass you. If today you would say, God, I need a fresh dose of strength and courage, I just want to invite you to stand right where you are. I just want to invite you to stand. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you in a special way. If you'd say today, God, I need strength and courage, I just want you to stand to your feet just right now, right where you are. Yeah, all over the room, all over the room. I'm standing too, by the way. I'm with you today. God, I need strength and courage. Let me pray for you. Jesus, today we all need that. But I pray especially for these that stand. And God, you know what it is that they're standing for today. You know what it is that where they most need to be able to stand and to face forward. And I pray, God, that today you would pour out your Spirit on them. And that you would show yourself to be strong on their behalf. I'd like everybody to stand now, if you would, all of us all across the room. And God, I pray for all of us as a church. I pray for Hayward Wesleyan Church today. And I pray that this day, God, as your church, that you would be honored and glorified. I pray that collectively this church would be strong and courageous in these days so that many, many people, men, women, and children, would come to know you as Savior and Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen. Let's sing together.